Hello and welcome to this week's Manx Footy Pod, sponsored by Conister Bank. For the 24th episode of the season, myself and Dave.
Hi everyone.
Are joined by Unimills defender Will Miller and club coach stroke stalwart Stephen Fox. Chaps, before we reflect on all things Millers, welcome along. Thanks for joining us in Podcast HQ today.
Right, thanks for having us.
Before we get into the football, it's tradition, isn't it, now, Dave?
Yeah, we have to start.
I made a last minute dash to the co-op on the terrace.
All the shops are available
last night for the biscuits. So I've got some mint chocolate club McVitie's. Is anyone you can have one, Steve?
Yeah.
Will, yeah.
Cheers.
Right, now, I must admit, you can tell the pack's open because I had one last night on the way back from the shop.
Have
you tried one?
I've had the orange ones. I've never had the mint ones before.
Well, they are a taste sensation. It's like a combination of toothpaste and chocolate.
Is it anywhere near as
good
as
that? No one else stuck in it.
After eight. What's better?
Nicer.
Right. Okay.
I feel they're much chunkier.
Okay. Obviously, after eight aren't a risk.
You know, so. Have one.
I will. But I don't want to be a noisy eater. So.
Well, it doesn't stop me, does it? No, that is very nice. But it's good. I would recommend it. On offer at £1 at the moment.
Oh, winner.
I know, yeah. So if you've got membership points,
This Conister Bank sponsorship has really pushed the boat out for us. It used to be malted milks for 40.
Well, I had a look at the 52p rail last night, and there wasn't there was fig rolls, and I don't like them.
No.
Anyway, aside from your opinions on club biscuits, we're going to discuss the Millers Division 2 campaign and a big last eight tie in the GH Colour Woods Cup on Saturday with Castletown. So, Will, you know, how big is this weekend's match in the course of the season?
Do or die for us now, isn't it?
Do or die,
So, big word. This is our season right here, isn't it? If we don't win this, then all we're looking for is just top four, if anything.
Definitely. It's got to be. This is. We disappointed this season, weren't we?
Yeah. So, just too inconsistent.
I think on a day though we can beat anyone. I think this cup's here for taking for us personally. So
The results against Youth League prove that, don't they?
Twice against Pulley, better team for both games of that, and
there's only one game I thought that we haven't played well or deserved something from the game. That was Castletown when we lost 7-2.
Yeah, that game, the Foxdale match as well. I think
I wasn't there for that.
Thankfully, it would have been 7 and we'd had a 5.
Playing back in Florida then.
Yeah, no, it was. I think. Got our games. I don't think we've got the results thing. I think it's, it lapses. I think it's come a lack of confidence from last season. We take a few beatings the last couple of seasons in the first division. I think we maybe could have come down a season earlier. Might have helped us. We might have kept a couple of players as well. Well, than that. But I think it's knocked our players' confidence because we've got good players. We've got cup winners, Chris Kelly, Will. You know, we've had Lacey. They're all cup winners. You know, they've won leagues. They've won trophies. They know what it takes. So I think it's just been a bit of lack of confidence this season. I think as soon as the goal's gone in, it's knocked us. And we've gone, oh no, it's going to happen again, we're going to get a hammering type of thing. But I think we're starting to pick up now a bit.
Yeah.
I spoke to Aki towards the start of the season, and it was, you had a very unlucky start in a way, because you had two last gas defeats, really, didn't you?
I was in Liverpool at the time, and seeing it was 3-2 to Mills in like the 90th minute, my phone was on 1% battery, and I was like, get in there, went into the pub, came on, got back to Ireland, was like, what? What happened?
Yeah,
like 4-3-2 goals in the last minute, was it? And they sent off to Lacey.
Yeah, the difference between the second division, that people just go. It's not technically as good, but they'll go. Yeah. They're runners, they'll work hard, they'll go on and on and on. I think it's something we've gone from quick passing football, better technical players in the first division, the second division where it's you got to win the battle first. And teams will go at the end no matter who they are. You know, without disrespect, a lot of players are in the second division because they're second division players. That's just the way you are. And with the moment, we're second division players, which we don't want to be, but I think if we keep settling down, last few games we put some good hard work performances against beat Malou, and we could have beat them by more, I think. And we worked hard, and I think if we get it in our heads and we do the hard work, the quality we got, like Boothie and Kyle and Cole and Garrett, cup flying this year, I think we could beat anyone. I think next season, we're going to
definitely build this next year, really, now.
Yeah, and I think, but this cup, I think it's definitely something we can win, and if any team thinks we're going to be a walkover, they've got nothing coming. So
the last couple of weeks you've touched on it already, you just said your results have improved, you've had better performances. Is it because maybe the squad's been a bit more settled? And I've noticed you've been putting the tweets have been coming out with the squads, and it looks like the same squad largely. Has that helped things? People are now playing with players week in, week out?
I think a lot of players, we have a lot of players. I've never known a season where so many players go away at weekends. Honestly, it's an absolute nightmare. And you go, oh wait, I can't play. And in my day, we used to be got holidays around the football season. Yeah. I think we went around the football season, so it's but we have had a lot of chopping and changing, and I think well, as I said, it was a confidence thing from the first division. Once we conceded, it would go, oh no, it's going to happen again. And we try so hard to get it back that we run out of position, you know, chasing out of position rather than just keeping you calm, staying in your positions, hold your lines, and doing the stuff you know that's right, rather than trying to fix something, going to try and fix something, but put you out of play sometimes. I think we get caught out, you know, and I think we'd be a bit naive off the ball. And I think, which we started to learn now, I think we are working harder, and I think they're doing the dirty stuff, and in this division it is a battle. I don't care what anyone says, it is a battle. You got to win the war before you do anything else.
Especially, from arguably, with the pitches this season probably wetter than ever before. Yeah. It does tend to descend into
last
a bit of a slog.
It was frozen.
Yeah.
Couldn't even get the studs in the pitch. Like, oh, yeah. It's actually ice skating.
Yeah, it was bad, like, yeah.
You were lucky as well. I mean, you've had a few injuries, most notably probably Chris Kelly when he had his head knocked in.
Yeah.
And that, he was out for quite a while. And when you lose someone of that importance, it is a blow, isn't it?
He still should be playing now, doctors said, but
he's too stupid to be there.
So he's got his little cap on now. He thinks he's a rugby.
I mean, it was a bad injury. I was one of the first. I had to put his head back together, basically, and it was a big injury. And he was wanting to get up and play, but that's the type of man Chris Kelly is. Mm-hmm. You know, he wanted to play and he wanted to come back early. We're like, hold back a bit, but you know, he's a Mills man through and through, and I think he's one of those players. He's a first top four player for me, top 14 player, without a doubt. I think he's probably done more heart himself staying with us the last few seasons than he could have gone, but he's stuck, and I think he's definitely someone that could play top four without a doubt.
Yeah, he's like the white Kenyan, isn't he? Just running and runs.
he's like a Forrest Gump, just runs, he does runs, he runs, but his work ethic is second to none. He's the fittest lad I've ever
He
had a head injury, he didn't do anything for 6 weeks, comes down, we go for a run, and he's like, but he runs for everything. You go and get a drink, he runs to get a drink, but he's 100 miles an hour, but his heart, he's a Mills man, you know, and you as you said, you know, that's a player of that quality, who's won leagues, who's won, he's been, when we found the top six, a couple of seasons back, he didn't travel, get up, he was one of the main players, and he is a leader, you know, and if you lose, it doesn't matter who you are, any top team, you know, if you lose one of your best players, George Dude, Frank Jones, it's a major difference. If you lose a big player, you lose a big player, you know. So,
if we go back to sort of August, it seems a long time ago now, isn't it? What was the expectations going into the season, Will? Were you thinking, right, we can have a go at this, try and get up this season, or was it realization that it was going to be a season of transition, which is what it's turned out? Really?
Personally, when we came down, I was thinking, we've still got a quite strong squad. But then we lost Jordan, Crawley and Isaac, and that's a big bit of a blow because they just got settled into the team. Mm. Like, we always bring all these youth players coming through, like Joey Morland.
Even when we won a treble that time, it was basically
continuous cycle. We're like
Gaz Logan, Carl Dobbin. It was AJ, Matty Kane, Gaz Logan.
Think about the players we had, like, 6 years ago, like Dobbin, Gaz Logan, Matty Kane, AJ.
When we won a treble, I think it was Barber Duna, the left back, who was the African fella. James Cannell, Mills, Jeff Dobbin. Carl Dobbin. Carl Dobbin, you know, Scales, Gaz Logan, AJ, Matty Kane, Paul Blair. I mean, these are all Mills. You know, people think
that's a top five team in the first division.
People think that, you know, we've lost a lot of youth players and a lot of youth teams the last few seasons, which we have. But we've been doing this for years. We always have. We've always generated youngsters.
Peter Club, aren't we?
You know, Dean France. You know, these are all good players that have been with us for years and years and years and years. Stephen Quine, you know, David Tomney. It's not like we're just a thing. We've always been a thing. But I mean, we're struggling a bit at the moment, but it will happen again. We're in the process of sorting it out now. You know,
we've got Colin coming through now.
He's
Colin, a good
Gary, he's bright. That lad's unreal. Like,
yeah, he's got...
He's in good scoring form, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's started to
work. He just does that dirty stuff, doesn't he?
Work on a couple of things and then he'll be finished article.
Oh, yeah. He is. And his work ethic's unbelievable. He's scared of no one. He plays that Irish thing and smacking up and smacking each other with sticks and stuff. He goes waiting for someone.
That hurling, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. He smacks each other with sticks. He loves all that. It's hard as nails.
Someone talked to me about Colin, but I can't remember who it was now, but they were talking about his movement off the ball. And he said he's unbelievable. They can't mark him because he never moves.
He goes into somewhere where you don't want to mark him.
He runs almost in circles, but it loses the person that's marking
him. Yeah, he is. He's probably unstoppable. Yeah. His engine, he's so fit, it's unbelievable. He is, and he does other sports as well, on top of that, you know. But he is, I knew he was good, I knew him for a couple of seasons now, I knew he was 15 and stuff, he was coming through in the Cow Cup. and he was good then, and we always knew. He came to the first training session before he was old enough, and he rinsed half of our players. and he did. His confidence, because some players, you can see their ability, but when they get to play with senior players, you back off a bit. Yeah. Not him, straight in, asking for the ball.
At that age,
smacking challenges.
Mixing it with the, like us. Like, I remember when Joey came through, like, megged me about five times in Project 21, that's, and I was like,
standard, don't you?
It's like, get this guy on my team.
Yeah. Like, you can tell players that, you can see the moment you turn up training at age 15, he's as soon as he's gets to senior football, he's gonna play in the Comedy Cup games. But he's going to get the first team. Yeah. It was a needs must, and he's lit the place up. To be honest, he makes such a difference. He's a bit like Kel, but without no disrespect to Kel, he's got a bit more technical ability than Kel type thing. But them to the engine in that middle part now, I think that's helping it out.
Yeah.
Performances.
Talk about Luke Booth though, he's the man that's scoring the goals, and you know he's come via Governors Athletic, so
he was at us originally.
There we go, right.
We nurtured him.
Yeah, but he's emerged from nowhere in a division that has the likes of Stephen Glover and Mark Priestnell, so he'll be a real contender for that silver boot, and no disrespect for you guys in a team that are
struggling. I agree. Which I think puts him in a better stead anyway. Yeah. You look at the team, if he was a pulley or something like that. How many goals would he got now? Mm. And he's scored in games when he's been getting one, two chances, and he's put them away. And to be fair with him, even last season, he struggled last season, but I think what he's added to his game now is he's just realised he's just sticking the onion bag. Mm. I've talked to him a few times, and other people have, and I've said to him, no one, it's like everyone saying, oh, did you see that goal Booby scored? And then about 6 weeks later, oh, did you see that goal Booby scored, top corner? Mm. I said, they will talk about that. What you talk about was one goal, two goals, two goals, one goals. Mm. And he's doing that now. As soon as he sees it, it's back of the net, it's in the corners. But he's done that himself. As soon as he turned up pre-season, he just seemed a different animal this season. He seemed everything. He ran powerfully, and he's a machine. He is. Have we got any hope of going up next season? That's the type of player we need. No, because he'll be top goal scorer next season, without a doubt.
Kyle's just giving assists to him.
Yeah, Kyle Ewan, he's unbelievable. He's only scored about like seven goals or something this season, but he's got about 28 assists.
Wow.
Well, he must have assisted both of them. He's got. And you realise, although he's up the front, he's not scoring goals, but Peter Beardsley never used to score a lot of goals. I'm not saying he's Peter Beardsley or Dennis Bergkamp, but if he's making chances, he's doing something for the team, and I think we're getting that now. He's not going in form at the moment. Once he scores again, he'll fly. But
as long as the team's winning, that's the main thing.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Get the team winning, and then goals will come.
What's the I'm not wanting to give away any of his secrets, but what's the key to the Union Mills football factory? How come you can produce so many youngsters? Is it just because your youth setup so strong, and the fact you have so many youth teams, or is it?
We haven't got any youth teams anymore, but we've only got a couple left. But I think we were a family club, and I think maybe moving up the club maybe took that away a bit, because there is a financial strain on it now. Mm-hmm. We've got money and stuff. We know everything. Mm-hmm. No money from it, but it became a different type of importance as well for the club as well. You've got to fund that. Mm-hmm. To big size of two pitches. It's all got to be maintained. It's all we got that, but we've always been a family club. There's people. It used to be a lot of it. I think we got away from it a bit. I think we're looking to get back into it now, where players always coached. So when we were playing for the club, you have a lot of coaches that go coach and they'll teach you this stuff, but there's no affiliation to the club. But when you're a player along with them coaching, when you weren't pulling your weight, you were told, this badge, it means something for it. This is dope. That's how I've been there all my life, about half a season. Mm. I've been there since, and I am a Mills man. I will be, always will be. And I think that's why we produced it as well, because it was a family club. Players would be coaching, and the kids used to come out with me when I was 16. And you had about 25 kids from Mount Strang up there by the old club. Mm. They're watching. And it was a family club. And I think moving up the road a bit, it's probably taken away, because you used to open the old clubhouse all the time. People come out and have drinks and stuff and whatnot. But I think when we do it, we do it right. And it's not just about making the best next superstar, or we want to make someone a professional footballer. We want kids to enjoy themselves, express themselves, be footballers, but know what it means. And I think
we had Dad and Mom come through as well. He came to a training session, about 6'4", something like 16 years old, and size 14 feet. Or something.
He was a big guy.
Who made this person? Wasn't he?
He's growing. Yeah. I think his grandfather owns the nursery. He's like me.
Mm. Yeah, he's a millman as well.
I think we have always produced good youngsters. And we have struggled the last couple of seasons with it, but I think it'll start. We are looking into doing it again, and I think a lot of players want to get to coaching and realise that as well, because we are a family club. But
that continuity is good, isn't it? And in many ways, it echoes what Barcelona do to a professional level. You know, if you look at their coaches and the
players, the Messiah College up there, you'll be all right.
Yeah, La Millers.
You know, if you look at the players we've lost, and we could have, Trans, Sam Kane. You know, these are.
Jack
to
McVay, Joey Moore,
but Jack was found. Jack, he buggered off to England ages ago, didn't he? He went away before he came back. But you know, Joey Moore, Quayle,
Kane, Jamie Johnson.
Yeah, you know, these are all players that we have this.
Mike McAllister, you played for.
Mike McAllister, you know, and the list goes on and on and on. Mm. You know, it's one of those things. You look back and you think, oh, if we get them players, but then we've got to look at ourselves. Well. We've got to look at ourselves as coaches and as managers, as a club. Why have they left? What can we do better?
Mm.
Why can't, you know, we need to keep these players? You know, and show that we are moving forward as well. I'm not saying it is our fault, you know, but we are
not meeting our expectations or something.
Yeah,
like,
no, and I think we've got to do that as a club.
We should have won a title with the players we brought through.
Yeah, I think we were lucky as well, because that team we had AJ, Matty Kane, all that lot. AJ moved away, and he's a big hit, because he was causing. He was going to be an Ireland player. He was going to be.
That
cup final. I honestly believe if AJ got injured, we'd have won that.
It was
because he got injured. He was living for 20 minutes.
He was injured before the game started because he got out of bed and he said, "I pulled something in my backside." Basically, it's like, "What are you on about?" Like,
remember it was. Yeah, but I honestly think we would have won that final.
That final, I've watched countless games of Manx football, but it's one I can still vividly remember because it had pretty much everything. Didn't
we were giving it beans at the start line.
Sam Kane.
Yeah, Sam Kane got some ripping, didn't he? But you know, I always like the cup finals of emails. I always like always big occasions. I think when we're down in those cup finals, there seems to be a bit more there. There's drums going, the kids there,
the Army.
Led by Eric.
Led by Eric. Like a pie piper isn't he? With all the mills.
Top down your boots and everything.
Yeah, you know. And there's people like Eric, you know, Eric's one of the ones that we built this club, you know, along with the BTs as well. And you know, he comes up and watches no matter what the weather, Eric.
Or how his health is as well.
And he's there every week, home and away and stuff. And he'll give us from the sidelines and stuff. And people like him, you know, you've got to look at him when you're on the pitch and you sort of say, you know, you've got to do with people like him. You know, this is what we're playing for. Mm. People like that are committed to the club, and that's what we want. And I think that we're starting to get that now. You know, players are starting to commit and get into it and what it means. And hopefully we can keep it and build on it.
All sounds very positive. Talking of positive, let's reflect on our Twitter questions, Dave. Hattie's been on. We have turned on, touched on actually quite a lot of what he's asked, but there's probably the last part of his question is probably still relevant. You know, have you had to fire the boys up much for this week? Is it just been pretty self-explanatory?
No, we need a reaction from the last two games we got against. First game, we thought we nicked it 3-3 at the end. We were by far the better team against Castletown that first half.
Yeah,
I think we went 2-0 up and then they brought back to 2-2 and then they went 3-2. We equalised 90th minute, still celebrating, gave a free kick away, and somehow they've nicked it right at the end. Second game, we just didn't turn up.
Yeah.
We lost that 7-2. I think the smallest person on the pitch, Gail, got about four headers or something like that. Yeah, ridiculous.
I think maybe a bit of arrogance on our behalf when we came down to First Division.
Yeah.
Which happens, it's not possible. But when you come to the First Division, you're like people look at us to get promoted, people look at us. But then it always puts a target on your back as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you come down, the people are going to go, oh, I think they're going to come down here and do this. And
yeah, you're looking at your target for them, aren't you?
Yeah, you know, no matter who you play against, if you play against good teams, you always raise your game. You should raise it. I'm one of those people that you should raise it every single game. But we come down, we probably thought, we're going to walk up this. I mean, expectations for me, at the start of the season, we were like, if we get promotion, good. But I thought, we need a whole season of second division, then go for promotion. Yeah. Set up, because we've taken so many losses that a good season of spilling, getting some wins under our belt, you know, getting players, maybe seeing what we need to get up to promotion. Because no point in going up, getting smacked around with the same players and going back down again.
Yeah.
You know, rebuilding, players in if we need to get them in. I think this season's just a bit of a confidence booster for us. You know, okay, we lost games, but we've won more this season. We've won like the last three seasons or something, haven't we?
Yeah.
You know, and it's.
Yeah, we're like Sunderland the last few years in the First Division. We're just constantly we're gone, and then somehow we would stay up.
Yeah.
And we're just cutting.
As exciting as it was,
I love relegation.
I'm a Mills man. I was hoping we'd go down last season, the season before.
Well, right.
I think we were just getting that. Because there'd be young players coming through, like Jordan, Isaac, Charlie Robinson, you know, good players. And they've gone from winning everything at youth level to coming in, and then suddenly you're getting beaten and beaten and beaten. And it's completely different.
Yeah,
it's a hell of a test of character, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I wouldn't say they. I think maybe more senior players maybe let us down more than anything else. But there was lots of stuff went on. There was, you know, maybe the coaching wasn't right. Maybe that's me as well. You know, players, you've got to take responsibility as everyone. Why wasn't it? How we can motivate them? Why? What was the problem? But I think a season earlier, if we'd have went down, we probably would have kept a lot of them players, like Jordan and Isaac, and we would have had a really good season, and then come up the next season after that, two seasons. So I think it probably hurts staying up another season more than. I want to be the first division. I want to be in the first. Yeah. But I think for the benefit of, you know, these players to learn a second division, season second division with them, the world. I mean, Jordan's flying now, man. He's doing really well. You know. A hell of a player, hopefully getting back one day.
Yeah,
but you know, and he's a hell
still
of a player.
And some games,
he does, know, when he comes and watches, you know, when he hasn't got a game, him and a lot of ex players. And I think that's a good thing, you know, a lot of ex players, even when they leave, they come up, Sam Kane, he comes down and watches coaching sometimes. Mm. He's helped us, he's done some coaching sessions with us, which he did a few weeks ago, and I think that's helped, to be honest. You know, he takes his time off the club. He was a Mills kid, and he came through and he won trophies, and you know, he comes up now and again. It's good that ex players still come.
Did you see on Instagram this week Sam Kane had a vote whether he should shave his beard off or not?
Oh really?
He's got a beard. Can you nick that off? I've only got his hairline more than anything else.
Well, perhaps that's where he's shaved it off now. Yeah, and he looks about 2 years younger.
He looks like Iron Robin but with a dodgy comb.
So do you think it's a good time to be playing Castletown in a way? Because obviously they, you know, you talked about Alex Crawley when he scored those four goals. He went on an amazing run of scoring hat-tricks every week. But Castletown were the form to the side, but now they've lost to St John's. It'd be interesting to see how they respond. So do you think this is a good time to play?
Yeah. Well, I've seen him the other night. I happened to be down there with my son for a football academy, and I watched a bit of the match. And they're a good team, Castletown, but I look at our squad now. As bad as we played, I look at our players, and I think we've got... When it comes to quality, I think we've got quality that's better than everyone else's when it comes down to it, you know. But as individuals, you got to work as a team. And if we do that team ethic, and we did like we did against Malone, and that was under tough circumstances, you know, it wasn't
tough conditions.
It was
like
tough conditions.
Off,
yeah,
like,
there was other stuff, but I'm not going to say. I don't want to get an FA ban. but it was we worked hard, and we did the week before. So I was using it, and hopefully, if we take that in, we'll beat them. I'm confident. I know. I look at our players. I look Booth and stuff. Kyle, Colm, we look at them players. Chris Kelly. I think Chris Langford's going to be a bit of a miss for us this weekend. You know, he's coming to the first team this year. And
got a bit of experience, doesn't he?
He talks, and it's so valuable, football talk.
Can't understand him, though, with a Brummie accent.
He babbles the points.
Yeah. Words at you, it's just like, no idea what he's just said.
He has made a difference, you know. And he's not the fastest, you know, but that talk and just... It stops so many problems and creates chances as well. You know, that man on, and you step 2 yards back, you stop the ball coming in. You know, and little things that happen. And it's how that's football, though. We could have played well every game this season, lost every game just because the football guards decided the ball was going to go in the back of the net.
We should have had a lot more points than we have so far. Yeah. If we just didn't switch off for about 2 minutes, like that, it only takes a second to score a goal. And the amount of times we switched off, like 1 second, we conceded. Yeah. Like, how many times have we lost in the last minute? I think Castletown, Malone, first two games. Pulley, 3 times, went up.
But against them, took the lead. And to be fair, there was the most offside goal I've ever seen in my life in that game.
I don't know.
Well, we're just talking about that. I say a lot to you, don't I? Saying, you know, what you, as soon as you pass the ball, I think with ball watch, I think that our biggest or worst thing is we ball watch, we'll pass it, and it'll go, and then we're standing there watching that, and the striker's just wandering off over there, lose it. We're looking, oh, someone's attacking us. By the time that ball's over the top and we're getting caught out, the matter of the one straight over the top. And that, so, but I think we're learning from it now.
Yeah.
I mean, I've told Will about Will. It's a learning curve, everyone. You can always learn no matter what age you get. You can always learn.
Yeah.
And it is a learning curve. And a lot of these players in the past have had experienced players next to them who do the talking for you. You know, Dobbin, Jody Scarf in the past. Yeah. You know, these are players that will talk you through games. Gaz Logan, talk you through games. You know, and they talk constantly. And if you take them out, it's not their fault that they're not talkers. You need to talk on the pitch, but you know, you've always got those people that just they're naturally born to do it and stuff. I think we've missed that a bit.
I think it's a point across the board, though. I don't think the kids as a whole talk. That's not a part of their game that they're
stiffening here and now, isn't it?
That I think they're brought through.
Off the ball stuff, I don't. They're all technical.
Yeah.
Technically brilliant, but I think off the ball stuff and the dirty side of it, I see a lot of it now. You know, and I'm not saying it's wrong. You know, that's the way coaching's going. But the way I see it is. A lot of it can be robotic as well, I think, you know. I think kids will be allowed to express themselves. You know, I had a cut by Sonic, Rob Nash. Yeah. He's the best manager I've ever had. He used to put us on the pitch and go, he knew which player, where players play, he played them many players, he just go, just do what you do. Right. Just do what you do and let you learn and you let you play and express yourself. I think kids should be allowed to express themselves, you know. I think that should travel through, but I also think, I don't think we teach them enough off the ball, no. The dirty side of the game, you know. The thing, it's all technical, and you see them now, they're sticking their toes in, tackles, and there's no...
No.
I mean, you're not allowed to go, yeah. But you know, there's no physicality, seems to be. It's like, they're rather off the ball, on the ball, brilliant, but then off the ball, I think that sometimes it's...
It's defensive shape as well. I don't think that's particularly well covered, especially over here. You know, it's a very rare day that we get a 0-0, isn't it? Because teams can't compact in defensive shape. There's maybe, I can only think of maybe a couple of clubs that can do it off the top of my head. But they just don't seem to think to be taught that. You'll score one more than the other team, it's fine. Yeah, don't worry.
I think a lot of them and I agree to it. You know, I agree with the point of, you keep the ball, the opposition can't score, right? Nothing on, play it back. But the fact of the matter is, you've also got to be prepared off the ball if a player mispasses it, because he might pass it back, but he might pass it to a striker. But if you're not picking your man up when that's happening, then you got 2-on-1 against the keeper. You know, and I agree with you on that. I'm not saying the coaching's. I think the coaching over here is brilliant. The standard's gone.
Yeah.
Or technically, I mean, look at the players that are going away, like Long, you know, and there's others,
Doyle,
Joey
Doyle as well.
You know, Liam Doyle, all these players. It's obviously having an impact, but I think. But when you're playing over here, I don't think enough of it off the ball. I think the physical side of the game being taken away a bit doesn't help, because if you go into a challenge, you're
going to
get a
£10 fine.
You're going to get a £10 fine.
Yeah.
You know. But I think it's the technical side is brilliant, but the physical side. But I think the physical side's coming out of the game,
especially.
You know, me and Jody should offer that a few times.
I remember the first game I played for Mills was you and Jody against Colby down their old pitch. It was like a bloodbath. It's like, what have I joined? Like, you go through about three people, Jody barking, shouting, grabbing people up by the neck and all that. It's like free cast 300 or something.
Yeah,
but
that's just that. Yeah, well,
more cards and cards. I'm actually getting shown.
I'm still do whatever it takes. People say, don't be dirty, but people give each other mouth on the ball, off the ball, used to get in people's ears. I used to foul people on purpose to get and know which players would go. And it's, players used to say that, Joey said himself, he goes, you ought to make a reputation. Joey Scarfe always said, one thing he said to me was, when you walk on the pitch, make a reputation of yourself about what it is. So then you walk on and you go, oh God, that person playing, because they're fast. No, score and goal. Oh, watch out, he's really good at scoring goals. Yeah. And you see the players now talking, you go, oh, he's playing, oh, he's really good at him and stuff. And it always is psychological. Mm. And bad as it was, people knew that I was going to kick them out of the pitch. Yeah. End of story, that's what I was going to do.
Yeah.
I was going to do that. I tried to play football as well, but I just didn't pull out the challenges. I won't pull out the challenges, but I would deliberately foul people. I would get in the ear. I would say stuff about their mums, you know. But I would, because football's not just physical, psychological as well. You have to get in people's head. If you can beep someone psychologically and they get really mad about something you said, if they're mad with you, they're not concentrating on football.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is, and I try to put this across to players, and I'm not thing, but anyone that says it doesn't happen in football is a liar. It's as simple as that, because it happens now. Playing against Jordy, they're doing it all the time. Mm-hmm. You're playing against anyone, they're doing it. They're always doing it. Someone's always in your ear. And you've got to do that. You've got to do the dirty side of the game. Mm-hmm. It's not pretty. Mm-hmm. But hey, if you want to get promoted, you want to win trophies, you can't go around doing it being nice all the time.
So, from the dark arts of match football to the crucial, serious stuff, a question from Daniel Henderson for you, Will.
Yeah.
How do you keep your hair so perfect on match day?
I was worried about these questions when they were coming in, like they were on our WhatsApp group. I was like, no.
And you still haven't even organised for them, have you? You've got answers for them, have you?
I do. Like, they're taking the mic because, do you know Chris Nash?
Yeah.
He posted on my picture on Facebook. He said, how do you do your hair? So I gave him a massive paragraph how I do it. I was like, get this hair kind of styling spray back on.
This is why we don't get promoted. And he's like you.
Let that dry out and then put the hair dryer on, comb it back. And then put some wax in, and then finish off with a bit of Schwarzkopf hairspray. And then
that's all set for Mills. I have not got the computer.
That hairspray will hold it in place for Mills.
My wife takes less time.
I was going to say, it must have to be up there.
Yeah, it's like, that's why I bought it.
Yeah. All the hair products are available.
Yes.
Yeah. Brilliant.
He also tweets, There's been a lot of speculation regarding Chris Kelly's new head attire. Is it true everyone takes it in turns to wear it in the shower after a big win?
I can answer this one. No, it's not, because there's only one person out of all these dirty gits that gets a shower after the match, right?
Chris Langford.
Chris Langford.
First in shower.
No, unless he's wearing it. Unless he's cupping himself with it in the shower. When he's doing it, I don't know. But he's the only person.
I get
the rest
that.
Of them all.
I go home just soaking it. Like, I literally can't walk.
Candles out.
Put the iPad on, get BT Sport on, and just watch the football in the back.
Beefsteaks.
Glad there was a third part to Daniel's question. If Will had to choose a favourite own goal he scored, what would it be and why?
So we've got a fines book at Mills now, so if you score an own goal, it's like a five. If you give a penalty, you win five. Book, tenner, and all this. Like, it all goes to the end of the season, do. Mm. But the best own goal I ever scored, I think, was we were playing pre-season against Colby.
You're proud of it.
It was a beast of a goal, though, so... like. I think we were 8-0 up against Colby. It was when Chris Kane was in charge, and we battered them, and then ball got played in the box, and Aduna came out and shouted Dunas, and I just went nah, and just absolutely buried the header, went right into the stanchion. It's like Aduna just absolutely killed me for it. It's like, sorry, it's a pre-season game.
Yeah, at least it's pre-season.
I don't score any, so I score on the opposite end, and I feel like I've scored.
Yeah, that's how it works.
There was one on Twitter last week, wasn't there? There was a defender who did an overhead kick. Belter. Yeah, it was the best own goal I've ever seen. I can't remember which team it was though. Right, next tweet is from Jorginho, someone you're familiar with, Steve. Who's the best scrum half?
Lee Christian. Beastie.
He'd go straight into the Lions squad.
I think he's too big. He's more of a number eight or a...
I'll tell you what, that guy can move
scrum.
For a big guy.
He's just a scrum. He's just
a scrum. Okay, a full scrum. Full half. I don't know. Is that egg chasing?
Which
one's scrum half? Is that the one who goes behind...
I think it's probably because it's when you're the end of Six Nations.
I know it was. Matty Rice, when I was at school, he was brilliant.
Was he?
Yeah, he was really good.
Right.
I think his shoes, he was good. He couldn't play football, but he was good.
Question from James Beaver Cahill. Question from Foxy. Who is your all-time favourite Spurs player in white? I know. We should point out that you're a massive Arsenal fan, aren't you?
We've got you in on a good day then.
Yeah.
Why not? Arsenal fans.
It's been a successful week. You don't have to lock something out and watch me go.
My favourite one, obviously, Sol Campbell for coming over.
Not Dele Alli anyway.
Yeah, but I can't say that on here. Okay. It's got to be Sol Campbell because he went from one.
Did Gallas play for both of them?
But he went to them.
Sold
the devil, didn't he?
Is Sol the only one to go the other way?
Pat Jennings go the other way. No, Pat Jennings went to Spurs, didn't he? He's the one in my time. Sol Campbell. He went unbeaten all season, so you can't really.
Yeah, he's it. Top defender back in his day. Trying to get on the management ladder, I believe, at the moment.
I think so, yeah.
Been trying for about 4 years.
Yeah, no, it's not because of his good at coaching, is it?
James also has another question. Cracking one.
Oh, I've seen this one. I hadn't really thought about this.
What film star would play you in the history of Union Mills?
Jack Black. I was thinking first, I was like, do I go with Will Ferrell because he's funny? And I like comedies, and I think I'm cracking. You can't say famous me, but
that's Sports Chelsea, is
it? Yeah, exactly. Sports Chelsea is but obviously I'm doing myself a bit of a dishonour on looks wise. Will Ferrell.
What girl are you going to go for then?
No, I was thinking Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo DiCaprio?
I know.
The Wolf of Gary Moore.
Yeah, exactly. The Wolf of Gary Moore.
Just all the memes he's in, isn't he? I think he's.
Well, that's something we could possibly put to Twitter later on. Who should play Will Miller in the... What would the film be called?
What, Will?
No, the Union Mills film. Mm.
Eric's Army.
Mm.
Eric's Army. We don't do Eric, but that's it.
Yeah.
If we don't see him, he's going to kill us.
Yeah, true.
Or swear at you a lot, or probably both.
Probably both.
Yeah. Will, you've tweeted in a question, but you probably could have just asked. Go on then. So, over to you. This is the first time this has ever happened.
I guess he's got
another question for another guest. Go on then, Will.
So, I asked Foxy, was it?
Yeah.
Just said, if you were level on points on Mario Kart and have one track to pick, what?
Always Rainbow Road, mate. Yeah. You always go Rainbow Road, don't you?
Yeah.
Always, you know.
Do you where the cheat is, where you go off on the side.
Yeah. Make or break that course.
Yeah.
It is, you know, that's it, make or break it. Mm. It can be on your own, I can't.
You do not want to be first place in the first two laps.
Like, you get blue shell, red shell, haven't you?
Seriously.
They lunge you off, you come back on, you drop you in the car, another one hits you, knock you off. It's absolute nightmare.
I think I had, when I was around yours, wasn't I? I think I beat by your son, obviously. Like, he just ran me over, like, then red shelled me, and then blue shelled. I think I had everything off the corner.
Then laughed at you and walked out of the room.
Yeah.
Basically, I did get
12 year old.
I did get revenge, though. I did beat him on one of them. So like,
if you were to have a competition, a tournament at Mills, who would win it then?
Me.
Yeah,
you see someone saying that, but it's,
I mean, honestly,
you ask okay, when you get that box, you don't know what you're getting.
That's a totally difference. It's not about the driver. Ask Sam Keeney, the best Mario Kart.
If you just stay in the middle of the track, right, but you get red shelled and all sorts, like, you don't know
what you're getting. Don't stay in the middle of the track, then, do you? That's why you get red shelled.
You just want to be last on the last corner. If you're last, you still got a chance.
This is a waste of conversation.
But you could hold a banana skin on the back, can't you, to the left?
They're cowards. Don't stop blue shells, though.
They're cowards. And the people who leave, then fake boxes after the box are the same type.
Oh, yeah, I do that.
And a banana before you go over the booster.
Or when you got the secret one and you put the secret one in, you put the banana in as well.
Dark arts, isn't it?
It's horrible.
That's what we've been talking about, the whole dark arts.
You've got to do it.
Well, you see, Gary Moore is surely the perfect venue for a game. You know, we've got a big projector screen.
We always talked about.
We're going to have a Mario Kart night up there, weren't we? Yeah, we had a beer pong night as well. We had a beer pong World Cup, didn't we?
Yeah.
And that was...
Who won?
Danny Shuttleworth.
No one knew what country they were.
Danny Shuttleworth won, didn't he?
Did he? I think we got two cups when you get two ping pongs in one cup. I think we didn't even get a chance to throw. And then you have to
down all of them.
Just like... Why did we so just sat out the rest of the tournament?
Doing Mario Kart, won't we? Sort of remember the boys. We'll let you know what happened.
All right, Sam. Matthew Suckling, is there any players Will has played with or against that he feels should have had an island call up? Why?
There's loads of players like Dobbin should have got called up.
How Dobbin didn't get called up that when we were not that.
He was at any other team. Like
he would off you.
Quiner went played for the island when he was at Mills, didn't he?
Yeah, he won, then he went off to St John's, then he injured himself and came back.
A bit of a thing that maybe the FA didn't like the Isle of Man. Oh, sorry, didn't like Mills today. That's what Dobbin should have been called up.
Dobbin definitely should have been called. I mean, that lad that season. I mean, I seen him playing against Morrissey and he kicked him out of the pitch. You know, Morrissey, he went home and took him out of his pocket before he put him in the washing machine. He was that far in his pocket. What about him as well? I saw about talking before, he was a leader. He put his head where it hurt. But he was decent on the ball as well. You know, he was the fastest. I mean, he is a warrior. He's the first person you put your team sheet.
Mm.
You know, a lot of players I played with, he's one of the... I mean, to me, I don't care what anyone says about him, Dean Franz is the best player I've ever played with. And I mean, the stuff he does, if someone could have got hold of him, or still get hold of him, I've seen him train. He's the most natural footballer, and I mean natural left foot, right foot, skill, ability I've ever. I mean, Darren Scarf was good. Darren Scarf was brilliant as well, no. But Dean Franz.
AJ as well, he should have been called.
AJ, I think he would have been AJ. AJ would have been, you know, he was causing problems for any defence.
He was like Sean Doyle, wasn't he? The original Sean Doyle.
He was a fast-beater Crouch.
Well, he was, I had a youth level and he was always there. I mean, he missed a couple of chances, but he always scored. You know, he's the same one, in the air. No team could deal with him. I mean, he was unbelievable.
Liked his basketball and that.
There's been a few, but I think others like Gaz Logan, was he technically brilliant? No, but the amount of times he went into a few people and he came out with the ball, he just had this ability to just win the ball, you know. And there's loads of Duna should have been how he didn't get more.
Did he not play for Ireland?
He played for the Vets. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but you know, on a regular basis. Mm. I mean, these last few seasons, I could say he kept us up the last couple of seasons. I mean, he was getting.
He won a goalkeeper of the year two years ago.
Yeah, and he's given Royal a chance of staying up this year.
Yeah, and he's only played about four games. So I work with him and stuff, you know. And he's probably the amount of points he gets you. There's good keepers on there. I know there's great keepers, but him, you see him and he just keeps your points. You see, and you see him out the corner, the bottom left. And even his age, he's the best keeper I've seen in the island. I don't understand how not a fashionable club, probably. I think just now, and it is true, you know. But who else was
that minute?
Well, we played with who you played with. I mean, I'll be honest, when I played him back in the day, Jordy Scarf, I mean, he was no matter where you played him, and he was a physical lad, he was good in the air. You used to think he was really skillful, but but you know, and I think there's a lot of players that have played for Mills and stayed in probably Chris Kelly.
Kelly, at least in the squad or something.
Mm. Yeah, you know, if we'd have gone to another side, maybe the coaching side of it, maybe, you know, and I think that might, we've got to look at ourselves though, have we coached them right in order to get them? Maybe there's something about them they're not sure about, you know, and we've got to look at ourselves as well as coaches and managers and a club. No, can we push the players? If we push the players, we're pushing ourselves as well. You know, it's all one process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you make players better players and make them happy, you become a better team. You become a better team, you become more successful, you become more successful, people come to you. You know, but I wouldn't want to be a club that's keep cherry picking players all the time. I like the Eden Mills thing where we try and win youngsters.
Build it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you need to bring a left midfielder and you have to go out and get a left midfielder,
mm-hmm.
you know. But yeah, Chris Kelly definitely. Chris, I thought he was years ago when he. You got young player of the year, I think it was, and I said this lad's going to play beyond. And I honestly thought with the success we were going at, it was going to take him as well. And as I said, it's probably a detriment to himself, hasn't he? He's probably hurt himself staying with us when he could have gone somewhere and maybe become a better footballer, like a lot of players have. But a lot of players probably say now. But he's happy where he is. You know, he's a Mills man.
Yeah.
You know.
They say about these one club men, though, that success at another club doesn't mean anywhere near as much.
Yeah, we've talked to a few guys, Mark. Kelly at Peel, you know, he had the opportunity to move to one of the Douglas clubs, and he said, well, if I won a cup or a league there, it wouldn't mean the same as if I'd won it at Peel.
Yeah, you're playing with your mates, aren't you? Like, yeah, it's not the same with winning with your friends who you've grown up with.
It's just having regret. The problem is, it's regretting football. When I am regretting football, did I push myself? Did I do everything I could? You know, when I speak to the players, I speak to them, I'm always saying, like, you've got to give 100%, because you look back and you go, I didn't do that.
Mm.
You can't get it back.
Yeah.
Especially when you get older, you can't get it back, and you need to, while your legs are working. I mean, I've had my legs smashed to bits, you know, operation after operation, but you know, I've tried to keep going. I played a couple of games this season, you know, 41, but you've got to do everything you can, and you've got to enjoy it, you know, and it's so important to not leave. But you can't make it up in football. Once you get to a certain age, it makes no difference who you are, you can't make it up, and you look back and you think, did I do everything I could? And it's a horrible feeling to have.
Yeah. From the serious to the ridiculous, our standard question from Agent Rashid. First of all, you say, ask what do you think of the mug?
It's class. I like the picture.
Will actually
catches us there.
Before we started recording, Will was like, thought that he wants one, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he's trying to play it's an order, doesn't he? So
I think there should be an Agent Rashid cup competition. We're saying as well.
Probably one of two cups we're getting this season.
Yeah. That might be the only cup. Yeah,
no, it won't be.
All the America competition for it. So.
But there's bad news, Dave, isn't there?
Yeah, a scandal in the office here on my newspapers. One of the mugs has gone missing. So we appeal to you, Twitter, and Max Football.
Keep your eye out.
Is that young lad new?
Him.
Yeah.
Max, our work experience lad, I'll question him. I'll search his bag. He's on work experience.
He's got to be him. Look at him. His mate told him, nick someone from the office. Nick someone from the office.
What better thing than an Agent Rashid mug?
Yeah, that would be double points, wouldn't it, when he got back? But he has got a question himself. It is a bit of an odd one. Classic agent. What is a union mill?
Will, I don't know how to even answer this. Like, this is obviously a mill, isn't it? In union mills?
I
didn't know how to even
search. It is from Agent Rashid, so I would, you know.
This creates
make someone up. Well, apparently the club used to live down by the railway lines where there was a mill, and it was by a train station, and it was in Union Mills.
It was Eric,
Union Mills.
Eric got
the Union Mills.
Eric discovered it.
And he built it.
Yeah. Eric, to be fair, Eric invented meat, so I'm fired.
You met Chuck Norris in the fist fight.
You see him walking around at Christmas time, like a Christmas tree, walking down the road, cars beeping out, he's going, bugger off you.
It's in mine. He's the only person who knocked Anthony Joshua out of his fist fight.
Oh, he would, yeah.
That fist is
made of iron. He's got hands like shovels, hasn't he? Well, I'll take Beckett Ralph. Don't tell him that.
Yeah. He won't be listening. I don't think he's got Twitter.
Well, no. If he has Sidewalk, that's Sidewalk now, won't he?
Eric, good actually, ladies and gentlemen. Right, but let's have a look at the Saturday's game with the lads while we've got you all in. Kicking off with the Friends Provident FA Cup, there's three remaining quarterfinals to be played on Saturday. Of course, there was a cheeky little midweek game, wasn't
it,
Dave?
There was. We mentioned it before. Castletown, they lost out to St John's 7-2 in the end.
I was struggling my stuff on the Astro on Wednesday night while that was happening, and it did look a classic cup tie. There was some meaty challenges flying in.
As you'd expect, yeah. But fair play to Castletown. It won all at half-time. They more than held their own, but second half, St John's just ran away with it, didn't they? Yeah. So, but anyway, the last three games, so we start off down at the bowl, don't we?
Yeah, the game you're going to, taking your flask and your...
Yeah, my thermos.
St Mary's Corinthians. Now, it's going to be a tough test for Corinthians. St Mary seems to have turned the corner in recent weeks.
Yeah, Alex Harrison's done a really good job there, hasn't he? I think, and our home advantage is going to be a big part for St Mary's, but Corinthians will start this as favourites still.
8 out of their last 9, I think they've won St Mary's, so they're a team in form, Steve. You know, Alex Harrison, a young coach, he seems to be making his name at the ball.
He was a good player, and I think there's a lot of coaches, and it goes out the world, you know, people keep saying about experienced coaches, but look at the managers that have come in and a young that understand the game at this level. I'm not saying the whole few years, like Pep Guardiola wasn't a manager, Diego Simeone wasn't a manager, you know, and they understand the game, and I think he understands the game. He's always been a good footballer. And I've spoken to a couple of their players that I know, between Jordan, they said since he's come in he's got everything settled down, you know. So maybe he's always had a bit of a thing where they sort of capitulate through the season, you know. They start off really well, things go wrong, but he seems to have got it, you know, steady enough now. You know, and Joe, apparently a couple of players who said, you know, his training sessions are good, you know, everyone's positive and stuff. And Mary's have always had individually brilliant players, without being disrespectful, you know, I think as a team, though, they've always never been a team, it's always gone off and done stuff. But on the day, you know, Steedo, he'll tear anyone apart, you know.
Scored the best goal I've ever seen, I think it was against us.
Probably
I wasn't it, thankfully I was watching. It's against Lobb.
You know, they're a good team, and I think they'll probably...
I think they'll go
with extra time at least. But yeah. I think Corinthians is a good unit, the old run.
It's highly managed Sean Doyle, isn't it, as well? Because everything seems to go through him. Like, he's impossible, like, to
play against. I think both teams are good, you know, and Corinthians has got such a young team. Like we were, you know, a few years ago with AJ and all the young lads and stuff, and I think keeping it together. My son's at their youth. You know, and they've got a great setup there. You know, they see the players coaching, and everyone's always up there. His family's up there, and it's what they've done as a club this last 3 or 4 seasons. It's like they've gone, let's build, and I think that's why the first team's so good as well, because they brought these young lads through.
Steve, do you think this year for Corinthians, though, it's a possibility they need to win something?
Because they should do with the talent they've got.
Because last year they finished second, they got to the Railway Cup semi-finals and lost St Mary's in the semi-final, and arguably again they should have won. Do they need to now be getting to maybe that first bit of silverware?
I think you've got to see it as improvement. You can't win every season, you can't win, you know, and I don't think anyone's expected them to get where they got last season. I think with what happened with Lewis and stuff, I think as a club that spurred them on, and it was brilliant that it did so well. We know they moved, what they did after that was absolutely brilliant, the way they played football, the way they pushed themselves. But I think they just need to show improvement, and it's always harder the second season. If you've got the same team, you know, when you think, and you always had, and some of those players have come in the first team last season, and they struggle the second season, people work you out, they understand you. Because when young lads come in, then it's like, who's this? You don't know who he's fast, you don't know who he's big, you don't know what he's about, and you get learned about. But they're a good team. Me personally, if they can, any youngsters are coming through, and if they can add a couple of players to their squad, I think they'd push Geordies. Personally, I think they would. Definitely push Geordies.
They've been building for years. They've got a nice pitch, they've got a stand now.
The club has got such togetherness as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
But that's what we had them in the last podcast last season, and that's what they said. And it was after, I think, they beat St George's in the league the first time. But the Corinthians, they've got... This is going to be a tough game for them. You know, St Mary's...
They know how to play on that pitch. They play
every week. That's a benefit for St Mary's, you know, they're playing it week in.
Such a big pitch, like, when we played down there...
Yeah, it is big. And if it's wet, it's fat, and it holds up sometimes. And it will affect you, when you're playing those pitches, you get used to the ball and the speed of the ball, and how it handles, and when the ball's coming over, what angles. It naturally becomes instinct with you. The more you do something, it becomes more instinct. But I think it'll be a draw, that game, to be honest. I think Mary's...
I think it'll go the distance, go the extra time.
Should we pack thermals then, because it'll be probably dark by the time that'll finish. maybe one's more one-sided game, or the other two games in the quarterfinals tomorrow. I think Peel versus Douglas Athletic's got home win written all over it, hasn't it?
I think Peel hit 10 last time they played them, didn't they?
Yeah, it's Peel, Douglas Athletic,
They've just got
a new manager now. So the tweet yesterday, Brian Gartland's left, Colin Purvis
is that?
Yeah. I didn't know that, but that's, you know...
Oh, was it Craig Purvis? Craig was the women's team manager, wasn't it, I think? Wally is still at Old Boys, I think so.
If it was at Douglas Athletic, I'd say it'd be a lot tighter, because that pitch is so small, and they played to advantage. They got long throws, and they're tight game, isn't it? When we went down there, it was just literally...
I mean, when they got promoted, the players he signed, Oh, then what's
is Wolfie still playing?
No, no. I know, when he had him, if they kept him this season.
Wouldn't Wolfie's been struggling with injury though? Yeah. He has played
it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I because he got a chin up.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not desperate, Dan.
No, it was his jaw. I think
his jaw, yeah. But you know, and that then when him and Lee Ford went to. Yeah, they were great signings. You know, they were.
Connor Dowell as well, great.
Yeah,
player.
You know, they're great.
Mikey's been having a good season.
Yeah, you know, they were good. I mean, that when I left like did a half season with them a few seasons back, and they were going forward. Then, you know, they are a club wanting to go forward and they wanting to get the proper on ground and I think and the players are signing and they're progressing, and if, as a player, if you see yourself progressing, I mean Cowan there. Yeah. I mean. He's a top four player. Yeah. I've ever seen one. And he was even in the second division. I've watched him. I was like, he is a hell of a player.
Goalkeeper as well, Matty Quirk.
Yeah. He was there when I was there, and he's a great goalkeeper. He'll be our own keeper.
He's been with the squad, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's going to be number one. I mean, and he's only young as well. Yeah. And he's really good at crowning balls as well.
Yeah. And he was of course a podcast guest only about 6-8 weeks ago. He was talking about his bowling adventures. But yeah, Peel seemed to again just be going through the motions at the moment now. They will have hurt that loss against St George's. Now, we talked about it, that we had a podcast the week before that, and I thought they could at least get a point out of Geordie's, but you were there.
I tipped Geordie's to win because it's just Geordie's. They know how to do these games, don't they? But to be fair, Peel will be really annoyed with themselves because they were just below par in that game. They weren't that fired up for it, which surprised me. So Geordie's deserve to win. But yeah, I think this is a good match for them to have to bounce back from, and I can see it being a comfortable win.
Another comfortable win looks on the cards at Victoria Road. I'm sorry, Will Smith, if you're listening. Braddon hosts St George's. A very close derby. Probably the two closest teams aside from the Groves Road.
They played bad when they were down to Mode.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah. Obviously, it's only a few metres away. Yeah. So
These two haven't played each other yet this season because of the postponements and the way the weather's gone. But it looks all day long as a win for the cup holders, isn't it, St George's?
Yeah, it's been a tough few months for Braddon, hasn't it? And this won't be any easier for them tomorrow. But if they can give themselves a good account in the first half, then they'll be happy with that, I think.
Hopefully, there's a catalyst
just
for the league.
For a performance, won't they? Just not the result. It's not important just to see if they can cut it against the big boys, isn't it?
Yeah. I think that Braddon will score against them. It's cup, isn't it? I love the cup.
They'll be right up for it.
There's always things.
Oh, you were at a match a few years ago when D&D took the lead against Peel, was it? I think.
Yeah, no, it was good.
That was amazing.
Anything can happen. It's one match.
16-1 or something.
Yeah, magic of the cup.
Geordie's will win, but I think Braddon will get a couple of goals, I reckon.
And will that be, can Braddon, as Will says, look for a performance that they can then use to build on kickstart in the league? Because they're still, well in the mire at the bottom of that.
I think depending what team you are, you've got to look at it different ways. You know, some teams, you've got to look at it, don't get hammering off them because it's bad for confidence. Mm. You know, if you're pushing for promotion or you're whatever, you know, you've got to, getting beat 14-15-0 doesn't do you any confidence whatsoever. So you've got to look at, Geordie's what they are, they're a unit, they know what they're doing, they're well run, and you're always going to struggle. They're going to be,
they're looking to be solid in that game, just get a good defensive performance and then if they nick a goal or something.
Yeah, but anything can happen, it just takes off day for players and stuff, but you've got to give a good account of yourself. Yeah. But it's a lot of individuals working as a team. You know, you've got to do your job. You know, if one person steps out of line, Geordie's will punish you.
Yeah, if you make one mistake early on, one goal tends to free in the next 5 minutes.
And that quick, the players you got in the squad are that quick. It's hard to play against, but you can't, I mean, if we get Geordie score early, I think it'll be an absolute.
We have to pull one out of the bag, I think, there.
Maybe now.
Yeah. Switching cup comps, Dave, we're going to talk about the three games going ahead in the GH Caulett Woods Cup quarterfinals. Of course, there's already a semi-finalist already in that one, isn't it?
Yes, D&D. They beat Ayr 5-4.
A couple of weeks ago now.
Ben Hall got the hat-trick in that one. There's only one place to start this weekend, really, up at Kerrymore. We've already talked about it. But
Mills Cast Town. You two boys confident that you could make yourselves in the last four. Dave is a sort of neutral. I know you live in Castletown, so
I'm an Uncan man part. Don't worry. This could be a good game. This, I wouldn't be surprised if it's as close as it was at the start of the season. Not the 7-2 one, you're going into it on the back. You had that really good result against Youthy only a few weeks ago, didn't you? So
played the league double actually because you beat
beaten twice.
Yeah, and with the likes of Luke Booth and Colin Garrity firing on all cylinders, then there's no reason why not. I think it would be close. I wouldn't be surprised if we went to extra time as well on this one, although Castletown will start as favourites.
I hope not. Anyway, I don't want to go extra time. I want to win it in 90 minutes.
You have to do what you have to do. Yeah, I'm confident. I'm confident. You know, I see the players every week.
Yeah.
And the ability we've got, and I think with like Luke Booth and Kyle and stuff like that, I think it's we got that quite. We do the hard stuff. Their quality will shine through.
There's a question I often I was thinking about the weekend when I was watching Dean Neame around. Do you, as a coach, do you go to the team and set them up differently this week because you're playing Castellanos to say the way you've set them up against Malou? Are you worried about Alex Crawley's presence? You know, do you maybe put a man marker on him, or is there anything you would do differently? Or do you just play your own game?
It's hard to set yourself up the way we have. I said with players being away, you're doing certain things and stuff. I think you've got. I'm a coach that believes you should do your job. You got to have a style of play. You've got to do thing, but you can't force a team to play away if they're not you haven't got the players for it. You got to look at your team, settle the best you can, and if, as individuals you've got to shine in order for the benefit of the team. No, if it's a striker there, you're a centre back, your job's to defend them. No, you've got to talk to each other, you got to think. So I'm all for the hard work side of things. You know, you do your hard work, you track your men, you do your runners, and you know, I mean Aki picks a team, you know, he's the manager and stuff like that. I've got my part within it. I'll do walks and I'll take drills and I'll speak to the players individually. I try, that's what I do. A lot of what I do is speak to players individually, try and get them going and stuff, threaten them, the violence, and, pull performance out. But it's, we don't set up to think, we talk about players, obviously you do.
We're not worried about them before the game.
Me, the way, as I said, I see the players, but yeah, I'm not worried about opposition. I know how good our players are. If they believe in themselves, I'm, play the best of their abilities, we'll win, and we'll beat any team in this league without fail. And I genuinely believe that. It's not just saying that because I'm a coach and because of Gina Mills. I know what we can do and what we are capable of, but it's mainly like being capable all the time rather than two games and not for three. But no, we don't set up anything. We talk about players, we know who it is, you know who your jobs are. I don't think tactics are as big in the second division as you are in the first division. You know, in the second division, yeah. When you play against a team and you know you're playing against some teams and they start getting beat and they lose their formation, then you get dragged out of position. Because you get dragged out of position, you stop playing your game. And I think a lot of that happens. It's harder to say, oh, wait, we'll press over here and we'll do this over there, because some teams just don't care. You know, the lower teams, they just want to play football. That's what they do. They're not bothered. They go and play for themselves and they run around. They've gone the right wing 1 minute, that wing. So
it's a central thing, isn't it?
Yeah, you can't really legislate for these. I used to find it harder playing against 10 teams and the decent teams. Decent teams, you knew where players would be. Whereas these teams just go, they go wandering off somewhere, and you're like, where the hell has he gone now? And like, why is he free? You know, if he was human, they'd be like, well, he's been central field out on the right for some reason now. Just sad, I'm going up top. So I think second division is not as.
Plus, you're only training a couple of times a week. You haven't got the players in books, five days a week.
Geordie's are Geordie's because their players are there 3, 4, 5 times, you know, a week. They talk, they do it, and they do it, and they do it, and do it. And if you want to aspire as a team, that's what you've got to do. But getting players to commit to that.
It's a lot of time to commit, isn't it?
And that's what I mean. And I don't hold it against players for not wanting to commit that. The Geordie's players are where they are because they do commit. They sacrifice. They sacrifice family time, their own time, personal time, you know, and they get what they get and they deserve what they get because that's what they do. And to me, that's what I want the club to aspire to as well. It's it's far away at the moment, it is, but my ambition as a Union Mills person, as part of the club, is, and I think the club want to do that as well. It's a long term, it's a project, it's baby steps, but I think.
A tight game anyway. The first goal could be really important.
I don't think it's gonna be.
It's not gonna be a walk in the park. Obviously, they beat us twice. We've got something to prove against them, to put one over on them this time.
Yeah,
we've got this cup only going. We're only going for this cup really now. So, because I think it's like Castletown, Rouen, and Pulley are top, aren't they? Yeah. They're fighting for the title at the minute. About 2 months ago, it was like. Even first to eighth, it was like that was really close. It's really competitive.
Some teams got a load of wins on the trot, didn't they?
Any team can beat any team in this league. That's what's really good about the league.
Polly's had some close. So they play. I mean, Nate Yates. He went from West Ham.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's got the world.
That lad. If he realises how good he is, he was along with Dunne. Start of last season, he got us points. Nate Yates.
Yes.
His performance at the start of the season.
Got
so young
as well.
Yeah. He did, but I don't mind that. I like playing with a bit of an edge to him, and he has got an edge to him. He is a red card, but it's happened. But ability wise, Nate Yates, he did get
he's very good.
And for Pulley, he's as good as the front line is, I think him in the middle of the park, he's their sign of the season.
Anyone who hasn't seen the goal yet, check out Hattie's tweets on YouTube footage. It was
absolutely cork, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All right, so close games. I think your game's close, but potentially this one's going to be very close as well. Foxdale Moran.
We must touch on that.
Yeah, tough one. Go on.
We must touch on that midweek game between Foxdale and Pulley at the ball. 4-3, Jason Chatwood's 94th minute winner.
They were down as well, weren't they? 3-2 down?
Yes, and obviously Yates scored that absolute cracker in that game.
Had he run out of superlatives in his tweets and his match report, describing it as one of the games of his life. So it does sound like it was for the six people that packed into the bowl on Wednesday night, it was a great game. Foxdale will take massive confidence boost from that, but Moran are playing very well at the moment.
Flying at the moment, they're up to second in the league. They've also beaten Youthy obviously recently and stuff.
Routine win over Douglas and District, and I'm sure Dave Matheson will cave me for saying that, but it was fairly comfortable last week. It didn't seem to get very much out of first or second. Ash Higginbotham, the man in form, they seem to have flourished since they've switched him to up front. He's scoring for fun. I think he scored 10 in his last three or something.
Yeah, hat-trick last week.
He's playing well. Cam Avery is an absolute giant at the back, and he scored 3 in his last three. So when you're centre-halves chipping in with that many goals, I'm looking at you here, Will.
I scored the other end.
The Lewis Dunk of Mike's football.
Max
and Claire.
A man in form as well. They look a good unit. And of course, last week there was no Stu Morris. Last week, no Ollie Morris. No. Ali Morris. So they're missing a few more to come into that squad. I think this is going to be an absolute corker.
Yeah, I can't call this one. It could go either way.
Well, if the forecast for rain is right, I can call it as a postponement.
The weather's going to be the winner there.
Yeah. Is at Foxdale. But if it does go ahead, this should be absolute belter. Lads, you've come across both these teams this year. Could you pick a winner?
I've not personally faced Foxdale, so I can't say for them.
And I think it'll be 5-0. Both teams, when we played against them, weren't the best at the back. But going forward, Foxdale were good at what they did. Going forward, the way they play, they know how the way they play. They play against them. Moran, they've always got good second division players. Mm. I could see a high score draw to me as I'm going into extra time.
Yeah.
The way it is.
They both concede goals. They score goals, but they'll concede goals as well. So I think a high score draw. I say I want to go 4-0 extra time.
I'm going to say Moran away win there.
Yeah, I think Foxdale penalties.
They heard it here first. The other game, the remaining tie in the quarterfinals of the Woods Cup, looks to be a bit more one-sided, Dave. Michael United host Pulley, Los Galacticos of second division. But they've fallen off their lofty heights in recent weeks.
Yeah, they have a bit, and obviously they'll be kicking themselves over that defeat in midweek. I mean, what a horrible way to lose it in the 94th minute. But, you know, they'll obviously fancy their chances. They'll start as overwhelming favourites. But Michael has sort of steadied the ship a little bit lately. They had a win a couple of weeks ago, so they may just, you know, hope that the weather up there is going to be a bit of a leveller.
Mm.
It's a windy place up there.
Yeah,
like, coming right, straight enough right over the sea. Right,
make sure the place look tropical at times. Doesn't it? But I think it's got to be a Pulley win for me, especially if they've got a point to prove after Wednesday.
Yeah,
lads, you reckon?
Can't see past Pulley, to be honest.
Yeah, comfortable win.
There's a smattering of league games as well on Saturday to start off in the top flight. 3 Premier League matches. Douglas High School All Boys welcome Laxey to Blackberry Lane. Eric's going to this one. He picks this one. He's picked this one out. I reckon this will be a decent match as well.
All Boys are, you know, doing well themselves at the moment, and they'll be favourites for this one. But Laxey are doing okay as well. They've got a young squad, obviously. They're gelling well, and you know, like you guys with your squad, they'll want to keep their team together for a few years.
Good system, Laxey as well.
Yeah. Both teams struggling for game time really since the turn of the year, as most people have been. Yeah. You know, and that does play a huge effect, doesn't it, guys? Because you just can't get the momentum going.
And even when you do get going, usually the pitches are heavy anyway. So after not playing for weeks, you know, you're playing on a heavy pitch, your legs are tired, and you know it is a struggle. And you can lose games because especially the teams are getting games. You know, but it is. This winter's been pretty bad.
Yeah.
You know, for it. We even go, how long did we go? We went 6 weeks or something like that.
Something
ridiculous.
A break or something, don't they?
And even with training, you can do training, but it's still not football fitness. Football fitness.
You start losing interest as well with the games getting cancelled. You get to Friday and you're like going, it's drinks on Friday.
Yeah, then you go,
and then it's like Saturday's cancelled. Yeah.
So you just sat there watching Jeff Stelling.
Just watching the soccer special, weren't you?
Just thinking, is it too early for a beer? Wife comes down at 11:00 in the morning and I'm drinking my beer.
Well, the English FA are talking about a mini winter break, aren't they now?
Yeah.
In February. So
Well, we'll talk about it. There was a tweet we're going to reference a bit later on. But yeah, Old Boys Laxey, I think Old Boys probably just have enough in the tank to edge this one. But Laxey, as you say, they've got the talent there. This could be another draw. A lot of these games are close, so this could be another
draw. Although I have to say, probably the weather might win this one as well.
Yeah, we'll talk about... Well, Dave's going to read the weather shortly.
Yeah.
Ramsey St John's. Ramsey, there's been a kick of life, hasn't there?
There has. That win that Fuchs scored against Dafka has reignited their season a little bit, but they're still struggling. Still down there near the bottom, so they're going to have to get more points on the board. But this is going to be a tough game for them. Yeah. St John's in good form, obviously on the back of that win in midweek. So this probably could be a comfortable win for them.
You favour that, guys? St John's
like a battling team. Ramsey have been kind of like us, hovering above the relegation.
I think what we did last season. Once we sort of realised we were going down, the pressure was off, and then performances started to. Because we had a good game against Corinthians. We just got beat by we had some good performances near the end of the season. I think once the press is off and you sort of go, we're going down. You sort of it takes a weight off because the stress of going down, getting relegated, and then once you realise you sort of are, will give you a bit of a. So they'll probably find better performances. You probably find it's a closer game because the press is off.
They can't be enjoying it anyways.
I think St John's will win, but I think it'll be pretty close, to be honest.
Right. I think that's a fair comment, to be honest.
Yeah.
Douglas Royal, of course, are in the relegation mix themselves at the moment. They are at home to Rushden United under the charge of Steve Burns. This should be another away win, shouldn't it?
Yeah, Rushden have struggled a little bit with inconsistency of late, haven't they?
But Rushden, if you look up Rushden in the dictionary, it is just the word inconsistency.
But they'll be overwhelming favourites for this. Royal, though, I think they've had those two wins on the bounce, which really reignited their season as well. They may just fancy sneaking a point here, but I think the Spaniards will be too strong.
Rushden win, lads?
Yeah. I mean, I work with Duno, who was there. Yes. And he was saying that the coaching there and the way the young lads are, they're going to be good if they can keep them all together. He says they are going to be good, and they all learn and they pick stuff up quick, and he goes the young lads have won them a lot of matches, have won them a lot of points rather than but some old heads there as well, some experienced players. They have got some good older heads in there, but Duna said the young lads there are unbelievable.
Well, only 16 of them are playing on a Sunday in the 16-18 league, so that just shows
good experience for them, isn't it?
Playing
against good Russian side,
they're going to be learning. It's a learning curve. It's a faster people are faster than you, people are stronger than you, and you find these things, but some of them are signed up and being counted, the young players, and the longer the season goes on, the better they're going to get, the talent's going to come through, so they will probably scare a few teams over the next few games and probably might not surprise results but get results that they probably do deserve but not expected.
That'll be an interesting watch, I would say, but I think Rushden maybe just edge this one.
I think Wales will get a couple of goals.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think Wales will get a couple of goals.
Come on, another high scoring game on the first. JCK Division 2, yes, Max Football, correct. Does all those goals. There's two games on Saturday. Air United welcome Douglaston District to Andrews. Now, Air couldn't field two teams a couple of weeks ago, which is very, very odd.
Yes, we know they struggled last year. So that was a shame. But hopefully this game will go ahead. It'll be a repeat of the other quarterfinal.
5-4. So again, it's going to be another close game. Douglaston District will be a bit. Rick Delaney was going absolutely bananas at half time last week. They were 4-0 down at that point against Moran.
Obviously, an improved second half
performance. They improved second half, but to be fair, Moran hit the post, and there was a couple of good saves.
Stepped off the gas a little bit.
So I would say that this one, it could be a score draw again. I'm going with Foxy score draw gang here, to be honest.
High scorer.
Douglas and District. I think they get good numbers down to training every Wednesday.
They chase after us, and
they're not far from us as well. They're just a place below us, aren't they? Dave's got them rammed.
I've seen them. They're getting better and better each season. I went for pre-season there a couple of seasons ago when they were in the way they were talking, they were wanting to move forward, and I've seen them as moving forward. They used to be always one of the slapping boys good, get a few goals this week, but I think a lot of teams have changed it around like them, and they're trying to move forward rather than just want to be a bunch of lads turning up and playing football the weekend. I think Douglas just have to take them.
Yeah, I've got a couple of decent players. It's
bad to see. It depends which one.
Sad to see, but you can't field two teams, like the clubs like Seems like it's dying, yeah. Doesn't it?
I know, it's and it seems like Ronald's way as well, wasn't it?
It's like they the same clubs definitely. Get Air, Rycob, Ramsey, yeah. Laxey. They all seem to move between them.
Yeah. When I first saw basically, they had like a great team there. They had like Corkle and Tor.
I think Air was like sixth.
And they were brilliant. And it's a shame that the clubs like this and such Ronald's way are one of them disappeared completely. And Air have been struggling for a couple of seasons for your teams.
Well, Air seemed to have turned the corner because obviously they didn't have a combi at all last year, and they've had a combi this year. They were playing pulley, so don't know the exact circumstances. Maybe they felt,
Air combi's done pretty well. They're sixth in combi two. They've had nine wins this season, so they've done well.
But
they get more numbers, don't they?
Yeah. Well, the first team, I watched them against St Mary's in the cup the other week. They've still got some of the players that were with them in the Premier League, so that like Elliot Curran, Jamie Callister. Who else was playing? Luke Rowe. There's three or four of the lads that were there when they were in the Premier League. Yeah. So, the squad, it maybe is not as bad as their league position suggests. This all points to another crazy score draw. The other game, Rycob take on Maloon. Now, what a curious situation Rycob are at the moment. They look to be racing away with it.
To be honest, I think it's when we beat them in the league, and since then they've struggled a bit.
Yeah.
We got a last minute winner against them. It was that Chris Kelly injury that game, and since then they've lost a few games because they were flying at the start of the season. They were thinking, and I'm not sure whether that might have had an adverse effect, and it's kicked them, but.
It's a tough game up there. They are a tough team and they are good.
Yeah, they're good at what they do. They know what they do. They know how to play.
They've got their style of play.
Yeah, and it works for them. And
obviously, even when we beat them recently as well, it was a tough game. We may have rode the luck a bit in the first half.
Yeah.
And didn't defended well, and then obviously nicked it in the second half, didn't we? So.
Yeah, but it's a.
So Malou, they'll be favourites to take the points against Malou, would you say? Obviously, you only played.
That's a tough one. I'd say 2-2.
Malou would. We should have beat Malou by more last week, and. But they're a decent team. No, they've got some good players. We didn't allow them
to play. People get held against them as well, don't they?
Yeah, but they're both physical teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll probably see more cards than we'll go also. But I'll probably... Malou.
That's a draw.
Yeah, I'm going to go Malou. But more cards than goals.
Good luck to whoever's refereeing that one this week. I think I'm going to go for a home win.
Yeah, I think you feel edge this one.
Yeah, Malou don't tend to travel well. It's a long way from Balasala, isn't it? So. Right, time for my two favourite features of the week. Combi Corner, Dave.
Well, as you can guess, there's not really much to report this week. There's only two games went ahead last weekend. Combi 1, St Mary's thrashed Ramsey 6-1 at the ball. No doubt in the star of the show in this. Josh Molyneux was on fire, got no fewer than 5 goals.
I think that's the second time he scored 5 in the season in one game.
Cracking little player. He's joined on the score sheet by Darren Dooley. Dooley, there's a name synonymous with St Mary's.
Yeah.
I bet he's been absolute nightmare in the FA office this week, but Lewis Qualtrough scored for Ramsey.
Yeah, apparently, yeah. He's been converted into a striker, I think.
Yeah.
The Stephen Corker transition, they're calling it.
Yeah, well, he's...
Calder, Corker.
Corker, yeah. Liverpool legend.
Paul Warhurst.
Yeah. Paul Warhurst, what a ledge. England capped.
And Chris Sutton.
Yeah.
There you go. Combi 2, Jim's recorded just their third win of the season. They beat Governors Athletic 7-2 at home.
Double for the club then, was it?
Yeah. Lewis Thompson led the way with 4, Phil Ogle grabbed 2, and Jack Freeman also scored. Stephen Quirk scored for Governors, and also former keeper turned superstar forward Ian Tuck.
Ian Tuck was up front?
Yeah.
I thought it must have been a wind-assisted goal kick.
Well, you never know.
If he was I went with Ian, actually. He was talking to me about it. He works with Kel's boss.
So what was he?
He was saying that he was playing combi, and he scored from the goal kick, and I was like, what? How did he... He was limping because he said he hasn't played for about 10 years outfield or something. Crazy, but yeah.
Look, you'd expect that up at Bemmy, wouldn't you? A bit of wind assistance, but down at Tremode, maybe not so much.
All conditions. Talking of weather, have you finished Comedy Corner then? Sorry,
yeah, really nothing to say.
Dave reads the weather.
Your favourite, mate. We've had good weather this week, but unfortunately it's not going to last. You've already alluded to it, but there's going to be quite a bit of rain overnight, and it's going to continue tomorrow. It's going to be quite a few spells of rain, so I don't know how the pitches are going to hold up.
Is it windy as well?
Well, it always is up at Garrymore. So.
Just to say, if it is called off at Garrymore, we're going to be playing off Castle Town as well. So we got that in the bag.
You got Castle Town.
I think that's a talk. We've been quite with Bay down there.
Right. Yeah.
Beat them over.
I think Ashley's agreed it with them already, basically saying if the pitch isn't good to go at Garrymore, we'll go down Castle Town and just play them there.
But Castle Town have had a couple of poor postponements themselves in recent weeks, so obviously it's not as bulletproof as it once was.
Yeah. I think probably to play the many games when you have the probably nibble.
Yeah, they're due to play UCL at home last week. That was called off, so
I don't know. Saving up for a big match this week.
Yeah. There you go. Right, any other business, Dave?
You've got a couple of things to mention, haven't you?
Oh, yes. I don't know if you saw this, lads. Yeah. Jersey had their UEFA decision a couple of weeks before last Monday in Bratislava. They had to went before the UEFA Congress with their bid to be formally accepted into the organisation. Wasn't good news, was it, Dave?
No, but it was expected, wasn't it?
Yeah, everything that they already had discussions with the English FA where they said they weren't going to back them, and they were expecting this. But the 55 votes, there was 49 against, one abstention, abstained. I think was from Iceland. And then, bizarrely, was it five didn't vote?
Didn't vote, which is very strange.
Gibraltar get a vote?
Yeah.
And they said no, even though they got...
I was probably going to make, Will, because... apparently, when asked by the Jersey Evening Post reporter Jason Fox, he asked the president of UEFA what the five that didn't base a vote, what happened there, and he said, "Oh, I think they might have been out having a coffee." So you know, it doesn't bode well
just
for Jersey.
They just didn't care.
Jersey have said Phil Austin, who was the chairman, chairman of the Jersey Football Association. He said, "Well, yeah, it's probably unlikely we're going to make another formal bid because it's cost them quite a lot of money to get this far."
But
they have opening dialogue with UEFA, and hopefully there'll be something comes out.
Yeah, alternative plans, so watch the space.
The LMFA have released a statement as well, and they've said, well, we were always going to see what Jersey did, and as Jersey...
They weren't going to do it regardless, were they? Let's be honest, we're going to spend money on it.
So they've said that their situation remains as was. It's nothing, not on their agenda.
What do you guys think about it?
So I think at least they're showing ambition to do something. Like, they're not just settling for amateur football, they want to improve. I'd like to see the Alamann FA. Do you remember the steam packet tournaments we used to have?
Love that.
When I was little, I used to go to that all the time. I used to enjoy the professional teams coming over.
When I spoke to Jonesy after the debacle in Middlesbrough, he said that they were actively looking to bring professional clubs back over in the summer.
It may
not be to the standards of Ian Rush turning out for Wrexham, as it were, but they're talking about the likes, maybe some decent non-league
Man City, under-21
team.
It appears we have a lot of connections over here with clubs now. The scouting and they're going over training sessions in the centre of excellence is going over there. Should we be using these to get them over as well?
I think that's the plan. That's what I've been reading between the lines and speaking to what Jonesy said.
We had that Russian Bolton match.
Ivan Campo.
Fernando Hierro as well.
I think it's good. I think it'll give more interest to football because without sound, I think everyone goes on the Alamann and all the fixtures get cancelled and I think people get annoyed with it sometimes. Not because it's the Alamann, but why aren't we doing it on Friday nights or Saturday evenings and stuff? Why does it have to be a Saturday afternoon? Because combi football's cancelled and everyone goes, we want everyone to come down the bowl, but not everyone goes down the bowl.
No.
I think if it wasn't disrupting football, I think people would take more interest in it. They'd play their football on a Saturday afternoon, then go off and see the Ireland team play.
I think, to be fair, the fixtures they've tried to arrange this season have tried to be at night, and there hasn't been the used to be the vast performance of the world. Often they have to accommodate the team's travel plans, which always makes an issue. I just think we saw a tweet this week that was criticising the FA, saying why did they move the season back 2 weeks? Look at the situation we're in now, where we've got most clubs have got 12 fixtures to play or whatever it is.
Didn't the clubs vote for that? Then?
Yeah, but that's the key point. That was pressed.
It's the people in charge of the clubs. The players don't even get a vote, really?
That should be.
Someone will speak on behalf of the players without even consulting them.
That's a club issue. But my point I was going to make is. You may have got 2 weeks back, you may have got four fixtures, but you'd still be eight. The FA, aren't in charge of the weather. It's just been one of those years.
I don't know why we're not, throughout the season, playing matches every team gets a team in the bowl, or Ben Mahee.
A neutral week
every week, and then everyone gets to play a midweek match, and do that throughout the season. It's not going to get rid of all the fixtures. No, so all the fixtures, but it was a majority of fixtures out.
I think the bowl slots are obviously very sought after.
Yeah.
The Wednesday slot that's been utilised in the last couple of weeks is what the Ironman FA's men's squad were training on. Yeah. It's only because they've come out of the competition now that slot's available. Yeah. So maybe that is a thing. I don't know how much affiliation costs or whatever the equivalent is you pay to the FA, but maybe you have to say, right, we'll bang it up whatever amount so that that's a slot reserved.
And every team gets a game on it. You know, it's, I think it's probably a way to go forward, especially with what's going on with this weather. You know, it's been happening for a few seasons now.
Yeah.
When I started playing, you play no matter, the whole universe, it was the biggest puddle in the world in the corner. Yeah. You know, you playing that, but now player safety comes into it and there's all that, you know, it's not fun playing in it. But I think we've got these facilities, we should be using them and helping clubs play the games. Because as we said, 6 weeks out, you get bored.
Yeah.
You're bored of it. You know, games.
Last season, you've said this many times, but Air United, they finished their season early, but they had a 2-month break before they played the Hossie Cup game.
And that's without postponements. So what happened was they played all their league games, so the league season should officially end next Saturday. And then they got a bye in the Hossie Cup, and were out of the FA Cup, so they had to wait 2 months. Or 6 weeks, or 6 weeks, or whatever.
Played one Hossie Cup game and they were out, and that was it.
Or even if you've played like in neutral grounds, like St John's, like places have got floodlights, if they're willing to let us play there.
But
I remember years ago playing in practice week around 10 at the old club because the fixture dragged on that badly.
Yeah.
And the pitch you paid on wasn't playable, we just had to get the fixture done.
Yeah.
You know, it was, but we got facilities, and maybe we need to find a way of working the teams into getting to use these facilities. So we can spread these games out over the season.
Yeah.
We might not have two games a season. I understand there's a lot of the centre of excellence and the brilliant my son's in it. You know, it's all good stuff and there's all these sort of training sessions, but sometimes maybe we need to have a look at maybe juggle stuff around or move things to the other nights, or can they do training somewhere else?
Yeah. It's all interesting points, and especially pertinent with rules revision coming up in the next few weeks. I'm sure there'll be some interesting things come out of that.
So,
last bit of AOB, Dave.
Yeah, just a reminder for next Wednesday. The Appleby 16-18 FA Cup final is going to take place at the Bowl between Laxey and St John's.
Kickoff
is at 6:45.
Often the forgotten competition in league, the 16-18 league, isn't it? Yeah,
but
people think it was 14-16, 16-18, 17-15.
It changes every year. Like the Cal Cup. I'm not a big fan of the you're not allowed to play Sweet 16 rule, to be honest.
What would you say, 14?
I'd say once you, but if the parents sign it, and I think you're physically ready. I have players, we have Mike Callister, for instance. I had him as an under-16s coach, and he's 15. And as soon as he hit 16, I didn't pick him when he was 16. So what's the point in playing that level down when you play? He's playing combi and ripping it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, his players ready at 14, 15. I played when I was 14, 15. You know, and this was in days when you used to get a kicking off all, you know, Mickey Knight used to kick you around the pitch, and for Michael, you know, these things. I think we should be, I understand everyone was worried about this, but if maybe there's forms we can sign, parents can sign, and coaches can sign, that they're happy for it to happen and stuff, because I think we're
good enough.
The players' development is stumped sometimes at 14, 15, because they're playing these leagues and you see them and they're going through the motions. They're going through the motions, not pushing themselves. That's 2 years of development you could be pushing.
Is there a place for these leagues anymore? Surely if you're a 16-year-old and you're good at enough for football, there's a place in a combi team at least for you. Do you know what I mean?
I think there is a lot of team players that can, but some of them, well, I've seen players that are really good. You hit 16, as soon as you got senior football, disappeared a bit, you know, got in the shadows and stuff. But then you see other ones. Like, you know, I think Carl Dobbin, he wasn't the best footballer when he was younger, but suddenly he got senior football and it became. David Tomney was the worst footballer I've ever seen up to the age 14 in my life, I swear to God. And he went up to Morecambe.
Yeah.
For a bit. You know, these. It just depends. It's not just about the physical attributes and the skill, it's the mental attributes as well. And some of them are ready. I know some of them already. I've seen some of them already. You see, I'm down to centre of excellence. I'm seeing 14, 15 year olds. I'm like, bigger than me.
Yeah.
You know, when they're bigger than. And the good players, they're physical, and you're like, why aren't we testing these lads? Why aren't we if we want the Isle of Man to come better, then should we not be pushing these players? There's 2 years of growth there that they're probably missing out on, but they could be. And I played with loads of players, as Mike Shimon, Mike McCarthy, that we all played senior football when we were 14, 15. You know, it didn't do us any harm.
We got dot points last year, didn't we? We beat Ramsey 3-1 and we had like a couple of...
Yeah, it was about 3 years ago, and Cosley and a few others and stuff.
They were deemed too young, but we beat Ramsey 3-1 with them.
About 4-5, 15.
We got dot points for it.
You know, but I think it's something we should be looking at. You know, we should be letting players develop it if you're ready. I was speaking to a coach that was been on Belgium for a few years, and he goes, they're so good now. Because what they did is when you were physically ready, they put them in a category. To matter what your age, if you were physically ready, you got put in. So if you were 12 years old, but you could handle it with 16-year-olds, they play you with 16-year-olds, and vice versa, if you're 16, you play with 13-year-olds. That's how they did it.
Look him away. Like,
no, to develop, because you develop. You only develop by playing against players that are as good or better than you. Playing against players that you're better than, and walking around being the best kid in the park.
See the picture of Lukaku when he's 18. He's like about 6'4", and then the rest of them are about up to his, you know, up to his shorts. Like, he's not challenging him, is it?
I think it's probably something we should be looking into. I'm not sure who makes the rule up or how the rule works out and stuff, but I'm sure I've heard 15-year-olds playing in cup matches this season in professional leagues because they've had a form signed.
Right.
You know, why can't we do it over here? Why can't the parents agree to it? Yeah. Or the parents agree to it, why can't we do something about that? I think it would help the development of players, personally.
Yeah,
and also, players, teams could be fielded, couldn't they?
Yeah.
Why can't we have these players where, if they're good enough to sign up, we can loan them over to and you can pay a season in there.
Yeah. That's a great point.
Yeah.
Right, chaps, been an interesting hour. Thanks for coming in. Yeah. I hope everything goes well on Saturday and for the rest of the season.
It goes ahead anyway. Yeah.
Next round.
You can enjoy your cold biscuit now, Bill.
Yeah, I can't wait. Get
out. I'm taking that off you.
No.
So I've got there's another one here for you, Stephen. I don't want you bullying you.
And you're on the bench. That's all you move that fast tomorrow.
Right, remember you go to all the Max 40 pods at audionboom.com/channel/Max Football, and we're on that there iTunes as well, aren't we, Dave?
You did well saying that, mate.
Cheers, buddy. Yeah. Until next week.
Ta-ta for now.